invite you to join me in this time of meditation. And as we go into the stillness, bring into your heart anyone or any place on this planet that you know of that is in need of prayer support. So we just take those people, those places into our hearts as we join together in this sacred time. And as Judy just shared with us, this is a powerful practice that can open our hearts, take us deeper in our spiritual journey. And we begin by just focusing on our breath. Our old friend, the breath, always with us, a companion on this journey of life. And we just observe it. And we allow that exhale to help us to relax a little more into our seats as we just release anything that is keeping us from being present. And with the next breath, imagine breathing right into your heart. If you want to put your hand on your heart to help with that, you can do that. So just imagine that your breath is going right into the heart space. And as you do, bring into your mind's eye someone or something that you deeply appreciate. Could be a person, a beloved pet, a place of beauty, a cherished memory. Whatever you choose, choose something that can activate a feeling of appreciation. And allow that feeling to begin to bubble up from within your heart. As we continue breathing into our heart, we allow that feeling to expand beyond the heart as it fills our bodies. Feel every cell invigorated by this high vibration of appreciation. And then let it spill out and radiate beyond the body as we create together this energetic field of coherence, harmony, peace. We fill this sacred sanctuary. And we send it beyond the walls. Knowing that as we do, we open ourselves to the truth of spirit, the indwelling presence of God. And we hold that truth in our hearts as we enter the silence together. Blessed Spirit, we open our minds and our hearts to the beauty of the presence within us. We give thanks for this truth that we are divinely connected, that there is no separation, that Spirit is our source. And that as we open our hearts we access that deep, rich, beautiful power within us. And so it is. In the name of all that is gracious and holy, we give thanks for this truth. Amen. Woo! Wow. So beautiful. Beautiful, haunting, and mellow. And thank you so much. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I better do what I did at the first service. Please say with me, technology is my friend. Technology is my friend. All right. And we're going to see if that is so. Oh. All right. As you know, Gary's not here. So we're beginning a four-part series this morning based on the book, How Then Shall We Live? It's written by Dr. Wayne Mueller. He's a minister, a therapist, and the founder of Bread for the Journey, which is an organization that funds projects that bless the community. Wonderful, wonderful work that he's doing. I saw Dr. Mueller speak once at a Unity convention. I was just so moved by his gentleness, his kindness, his heart-centered approach to spiritual self-discovery. So it's a great book. And the book poses four simple questions that can help us to awaken to a deeper dimension of who we are, can help us to move deeper and find out what we're made of, a deeper expression of spirit. And we'll be delving into one of those questions each time I do a talk on this series. And so my talk title this morning is The Hidden Wholeness. It's taken from this quote by Thomas Merton. There is in all things visible a hidden wholeness. Just take that in for a minute. There is in all things visible a hidden wholeness. Within all of creation, there is an aliveness and a beingness, a deeper hidden dimension of wholeness that's always present, no matter what the outer appearance may be telling us. And the question we're going to explore this morning as we consider this hidden wholeness is, who am I? It's a great question, kind of a good place to start. These four questions will probably seem to be very simple ones, and yet they're extremely powerful. And especially when something happens in our lives that is painful or difficult, something that kind of wakes us up, you know, an illness or a prosperity challenge or a loss of some kind, or even just a feeling of dissatisfaction. Contemplating these four questions has the potential of helping us move to another deeper phase of living, revealing something greater from within that's already there, moving us to this deeper place. And so they can help to unveil for us a deeper inner strength, an inner wisdom that we already have. Courage that we may not be aware we're made of. You know, one of the Iran hostages said this, human beings are like tea bags. You don't know how much strength you have till you're in hot water. And, you know, it's kind of a cliched thing, but you know what? There's truth to this. Don't you agree? We just don't know. Those difficult life situations can awaken us to the depths of who we really are. Find out what we're made of. So who are you? Who are you? I mean, we may begin answering that question by saying our name, describing our gender, our ethnicity. We can get into identifying ourselves by the roles that we play in life. I'm a student. I'm a caregiver of aging parents. I'm a retiree. And our relationships, I'm a mom, I'm a dad, I'm a father, brother, sister, whatever. Or our job, I'm a teacher, I'm a supervisor, I'm a musician. Or we might choose a word that describes what our life feels like. You know, I'm fragile, I'm strong, I'm wounded, you know. We could also describe our personality. I'm creative, I'm introvert, I'm quirky, whatever it is. And we can label ourselves by our pain, do you see? By what we perceive as our imperfections. You know, I'm insecure, I'm anxious, I'm addicted, I'm neurotic, I'm an overachiever. I'm not affirming those things for myself, but I'm just saying. We can think of ourselves that way. And we have layers and layers and layers of possibility when answering this simple question, who am I? And while these portrayals may have an element of accuracy in them as to our past behavior, they are not describing who we are. They are not describing our true nature. In fact, they are obscuring it. Do you see how that's so? The way we name ourselves colors our experience of life. You know, if I believe that I am fragile and broken, I will have a fragile, broken life because I'm seeing through the lens of fragility and brokenness. And that's not to say that sometimes we don't feel that way when things are happening in our life. But how are we labeling ourselves? You know, in the Native tradition, people were named for facets of nature and for the power characteristics of animals. And by calling on that power, they could remember who they were. They could remember. So think about your name. Think about your name. Is there a story around your name? There often is. You know, when I was a child, I shared this with a book study group this week. When I was a child, I did not like my name. I thought it was way too ordinary. And for a time, I stopped answering to Jane, and I would only respond if everyone called me Sandy. Now, I don't remember this, but my older relatives assure me that this is true. And so my mother sat down and talked to me about my name. And she said, there was a girl I went to school with whose name was Jane. And she was very strong and confident, and I wanted the same for you. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And then I guess I went back to answering to the name. So now fast forward a few decades, and I had a girlfriend in high school named Lynn. And after high school ended, we both kind of went our own ways, and we didn't see each other for a long time. And then years later, we reconnected. And she'd had a baby, she had a little girl. And I'd never met this little girl. So I went to visit her, and there was her four-year-old daughter, and Lynn introduced me to Rachel Jane. And I said to her, hey, that's my name too. And later, Lynn confided in me that she had named her daughter after me. And I have to tell you, I was totally stunned by that. I was stunned into silence, if you can believe that about me. It just took my breath away. And when I recovered, I asked, why? Why did you name your daughter after me? She said, you were the strongest and most confident girl I ever knew in school, and I wanted the same for her. And I had deja vu. Those almost verbatim what my mother had said to me. And then I said to her, wait, you thought I was strong and confident in high school? Were we even in the same school? Because I got to tell you, from where I sat, there was none of that. But you know, in that moment, I realized that my friend had seen through my self-imposed misconceptions, the insecurities of teenage angst, and all the labels that I had put on myself, and saw something greater. And I said, thanks, Mom. Really? And I really got the power of naming yourself and not buying into the limiting labels. Because we can get stuck in those labels, can't we? We can get stuck in them. We can think we have to fix ourselves or get rid of what's wrong in order to be who we truly are. And the problem is that the more we focus on what's wrong, what happens? The more is revealed. It can be like an endless quagmire. And yet, we have to be careful that we're not ignoring this stuff, right? Because we can sometimes do that on our spiritual journey. Cover it over. As the New Thought minister Jim Lockhart points out, our New Thought teachings and their emphasis on positive thinking can form a mask or create a spiritual bypass over our inner fears and dysfunctions. So we don't want to just cover them up with an affirmation, you know? Like, take two affirmations and call me in the morning. We don't want to do that. We don't want to put a Band-Aid over a festering wound and not get to the healing of it. So it's important that we become aware of these limiting beliefs, roles, shadow qualities, labels that we've taken on, because here's why. They're having an effect on our life right now, whether we know it or not. You see? So we don't want to ignore those beliefs or pretend they're not there. We need to identify them. But then we want to differentiate that these are not who I am. It's not me. They're labels we've taken on and identified with, because under all those layers is the real deal, the authentic self. And when we leave behind the stories, what remains is the imprisoned splendor of our hidden wholeness. And then there's nothing to hinder its emergence, do you see? We keep it locked up, but this is how we bring it out. And the master teachers have been teaching this for millennia. You know, Jesus told us this, you're the light of the world, Matthew 5. He didn't say you're the light of the world if, or you're the light of the world when. He just said you're the light of the world right now. And the Buddha's dying words are reported to have been, be a lamp unto yourself. He said, we are all Buddhas. We all have that divine nature right now. So I am the light of the world. Say that with me, please. I am the light of the world. Now think for a moment, how easy would it be for you to meet someone at a party that you've never met before and have this person come up and say, hi, who are you? And you say, well, I'm the light of the world. How easy is it to reveal our true self? Or do we focus on our apparent imperfections? I mean, does it feel safer to hide behind those labels? We can wear them like shields, like psychological clothes. But they suffocate our unfolding. They truly do. So think about your life. What is one label in your life that you have worn and that you're ready to let go of? Think of some labels that we can put on people, like dysfunctional ex-spouse. That's always a good one. Or overbearing boss. Or controlling mother. Or absent father. Just take a moment and consider what that would be in your life. What is one label that you have taken on? And imagine your life free of that limited identity. What would it be like? Can you feel the freedom in that? Sense of freedom. But we become invested in these labels, you see. And it can feel like a risk to actually let go of who we are not and step into who we've come here to be, especially if others are equally invested in having us remain in those labels. It throws everyone off balance if we step out of it, you know? But I love this quote by Anais Nin, and the day came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk it took to blossom. You see? The time comes in our lives when we get that we're keeping ourselves imprisoned in an identity that is not the totality of who we are, and it feels like wearing a really tight pair of shoes. You know, the time comes. And what's needed is to get beyond the belief that we have to improve ourselves, or we have to learn something new, or we have to change in order to express our real self. That belief is what keeps it firmly out of our grasp, you see. We will not experience our authentic self if we think there's something wrong with us that needs to be fixed first. Who we truly are can be obscured by these clouds of illusionary beliefs, by limiting stories, by a false identity we've bought into, but it's not the truth of who we are, those illusions. Barbara Marx Hubbard describes our divine essence as the impulse of evolution emerging from source for 13 billion years, now expressing itself uniquely. I love Barbara Marx Hubbard. Think about that. We are all embodying that evolutionary impulse. So imagine if instead of having to improve something, that it was really about accepting something. Accepting who we are. Getting out of the way of its expression. New Thought teacher Ernest Holmes describes us as being inlets and outlets of God. Inlets and outlets of source energy. Not tomorrow, not when we reach a goal, not when we lose 10 pounds or learn something more, but right now. Spirit is here, right now, has never left us and never will. Can you feel that? And the false identity that has covered up our experience of this wholeness within us is changeable. It's our personality, the roles we play in life, our thoughts, feelings, sensations, emotions, beliefs, habits, myths that we buy into as me. And the self appears solid, but you know what? It's constantly shifting. It's not permanent. And that is the good news. That's the really good news. We are not locked into these limiting constraints. You know, I've heard of people with multiple personalities. One personality wears glasses, the others don't. You know, one has diabetes, the others don't. And Dr. Mueller shares the story of a man who was a chain smoker for years and years and years, decades. And he had a minor stroke, and when he awoke, he forgot he was a smoker. Never smoked again, had no withdrawal effects, because he forgot to. So imagine if we could just shift things like that. Forget to indulge in unhealthy habits. Forget to believe we're not enough. We are not prisoners of our history. We are not prisoners of our history. Our past actions can no longer keep us locked in a false identity. And the good news is this. Whatever has happened or is happening right now in your life can be the catalyst to helping you discover the hidden wholeness within you. Whatever it is, that's the gift in it all. You know, there's a saying in the prison system that everybody finds God in jail. And the reason? Because our greatest challenges can break through the armor of ego. So childhood sorrows, addiction, painful experiences, relationship challenges, loss of some kind, let whatever it is in your life help you to dig deeper into the reality of who you are and discover your strength and your wisdom and your spirit. And many of us have real issues with our early lives that we need to get beyond. I heard a woman recently tell the story of being ashamed of her early roots. Her mother was a Native American, and every weekend she and her family would visit the reservation. And on Monday, she would lie to her classmates about what she did on the weekend because she was ashamed of who she was. How many of us have stories like that? You know? Because the consequence of that is that we pretend to be somebody else. If you think of our world, cosmetic surgery, eating disorders, body shaming, it's rampant. All about struggling to create a new persona that is less offensive, more pleasing to the world, needing approval, trying to be safe. But here's the thing. Trying to be who we are not is exhausting. It's draining. It's depressing. So are you ready to let go of that baggage?
Yes.
What a relief to be ourselves. Take a deep breath and just go, Because this spiritual community can become this place of awakening. You see? Inclusion, a sense of belonging, acceptance of who we are right now, compassion for ourselves and for each other. It's safe to come out and play here, to be who you've come here to be. And the world needs you to be who you've come here to be. As Dr. Mueller writes, if we are to make a significant contribution to the creation of peace and healing in the world, we cannot remain enmeshed in the smallness of our family story. We have to enlarge the story, take our place in the richness of the one life. So regardless of the events that have molded our personality, what remains constant is the authentic nature. And who we are is so much greater than our circumstances. It's like the ocean. Despite what's happening on the surface, a tropical storm, a hurricane, a cyclone, at the depths, the ocean is calm and peaceful. Always. And you are the same. No matter what's going on in your life, you have that same peace. It's like the Course in Miracles tells us. There's a place in you where there is perfect peace. There's a place in you where nothing is impossible. There's a place in you where the strength of God abides. Isn't that cool? But we need to get beyond the beliefs and the stories that are obscuring that place. So what is one limiting family story that you're ready to let go of in order to stop and to step into who you really are? As I was writing about this, I paused to ask myself that question. And I realized how much a sense of not enough permeated my family life. I mean, we always got by, but there was never a sense that there was enough. And I don't know about you, but I am so ready to let go of not enough. Are you with me?
Yes.
And we do that by stepping into the knowing and the being that I am enough. But do you see that this sense of not enough is directly tethered to a belief that you're anything less than the divine essence of spirit expressing in the material world? You see, it comes with the territory of living our lives as this limited identity. A sense of not enough is inherent in that kind of living. So how do we do it? How do we move beyond a story that has constrained us throughout our lives? Well, self-awareness is the key, heart-centered self-awareness. One thing we need to become aware of is when we're stuck in the story. And the cue process, for those of us that have done it, can help with that. But staying present is an important practice to help identify those times when we're enmeshed in a story. So, in the midst of your day, stop and ask yourself, who am I being right now? Who am I being right now? As you do your work, or travel, or talk to your friends, or spend time with your family, or cook breakfast, or have a conversation, silently ask yourself, who am I right now? and try to be aware of any ideas or words or feelings or images or stories that are going on under the surface. As you go about your daily activities, ask, who am I in this task? Am I an expert? Am I a performer? Or am I spirit in expression? As you talk to people, ask yourself, who am I in this conversation? Am I the leader, the learner, the teacher, the inquisitor, the failure, the collaborator? Or am I the light of the world? Make the shift. Be the light. Feel the benevolent impulses rising up from the heart and give them free play. Unleash your imprisoned splendor on the world. I love that. Explore the breadth of who you are and who you think you are. Watch how your sense of self changes. How do your words and your hopes and your dreams and your postures change when your identity shifts? Self-awareness is the key. And it's through bringing forth our hidden wholeness that we truly experience being the light of the world. And that's how you break the habit of being yourself. You know, you've been hearing from Gary's talks how we create our own personal experience of reality. Can you see how your life changes and transforms when you move out of these habitual, conditioned ways of reacting to life? Yes. Feel the difference between half listening to a family member as you scroll through the email on your phone. Anybody ever done that? And sitting with your whole heart, listening, really hearing what they have to say. Who you are being matters. It matters in your home life. It matters in your work life, your leisure time, your prayer time, at the grocery store, walking the dog. Coming here to Unity Spiritual Center, bring your whole self. We have the choice of being who we're not, or stepping into and truly expressing who we've come here to be, and it makes a difference. I love the Indian poet, Rabindranath Tagore. After you had taken your leave, I found God's footprints on my floor. So this week, consider these questions. And for our spirit groups that are following the Sunday talks, here are the discussion questions in practice. What is one label you have taken on? And how has that label affected your life? What limiting family story are you ready to release? And as you go through your day, stop and notice who you're being in that moment. In conversations, at work, cooking dinner, whatever it is. The hidden wholeness is waiting to burst forth from your heart. And we're never closer to spirit than we are right now. So how will you express? How will you express it? And where will you leave God's footprints behind today? God bless.